Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are moving along in our teaching series through 2 Corinthians. And we are coming to the last section of chapter 2. Now let's review. In chapter 1, the first section had to do with God's purpose for suffering, a vitally important topic for the people of God. And then the second half of chapter 1 had to do with Paul's defense of himself against his critics, a rather extensive portion where Paul answers criticisms of a number of different areas in his life. Obviously, Paul was not immune to that sort of thing, and we will not be either if we are serving the Lord. Moving into chapter 2, we found the first part of the chapter dealing with the necessity of obedience in difficult situations. The church at Corinth was dealing with a difficult disciplinary matter in the church. That's always difficult. There is no such thing as an easy disciplinary matter. And they had not completed it. They had taken the matter part way, but had not completed it all the way. And so Paul deals with that in the first half of the chapter, and it is an explanation for why he had to change his travel plans in regard to Corinth. Or at least why he chose to, gave his rationale for doing so. But now coming to the final section of chapter 2, we find Paul exalting the Word of God. He tells us of his confidence that God's Word is sufficient to accomplish God's purposes. God's Word, faithfully proclaimed, will always accomplish God's intended purposes. And for Paul, the statement that God's Word is sufficient, or maybe a condensed form would say the sufficiency of the Word, what was for the Apostle Paul far more than a motto, far more than something you might print on your church letterhead or on other materials that you have for your church, but it was a firm conviction with the Apostle Paul. He really believed that the proclamation of God's Word would always accomplish God's intended purposes. And that conviction gave him courage and confidence and persevering strength. And if we will come to the same conviction as we should, it will give us similar courage and strength as well. And so we're going to look at that on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, September 21. Thank you for the financial gifts that keep us teaching on this station. Paul was convinced that the faithful proclamation of God's Word will always accomplish God's intended purposes. Now, I say that again. I said it earlier, and I say it again because that is not the conviction of a lot of Christians in our day. That is not the conviction of a lot of churches, Bible-believing churches in our day. That is not the conviction of a lot of pastors in our day. Why do I say that? Because as you look at the landscape, you realize that so many churches and ministries are adding this, adding that, trying this, trying that, running to this conference to learn some new thing and to that conference to learn some new thing, always trying to find what can we do to our ministry, what can we add, what can we subtract, what can we finesse, what can we do differently in order to be more successful. In other words, we do not believe that the simple proclamation of God's word will accomplish God's intended purposes. Now, something is terribly amiss here. Either we're not content with accomplishing God's intended purposes, or else we don't believe that God's word will accomplish God's intended purposes. One of those two things has to be the case if we are intent, if we are determined to add additional things to the ministry of God's word in order to be successful. How do you define success? Isn't success accomplishing God's intended purposes? If you are faithfully preaching God's word, then you can be sure that you are accomplishing God's intended purposes. But do you believe that? And can it be that you're not satisfied with God's intended purposes? God's purposes aren't enough. What God is doing is not enough. I'm not satisfied with that. I've got to do something else to be considered successful in the eyes of other people. I'm not content with what God intends to do. I've got to make something else happen. That is a major problem. And that is why I'm convinced we have such weakness and shallowness in our conservative, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamental Christianity across America today. Let's learn what the Apostle Paul teaches us. And so we begin with Paul's concern in verses 12 and 13. He says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." Paul was in a place of a fruitful opportunity, as he makes very clear here. "When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord." The location of ministry at this particular juncture is the city of Troas in Northwest Asia Minor, a major city, a seaport city. And it's very significant in the New Testament account. This is the place of the Macedonia call. You can read about that in Acts chapter 16, verses 8 and following. Paul and his missionary team were looking for God's place of ministry for them. They arrived in the city of Troas, still apparently uncertain as to exactly where it was that God wanted them to go. And while they were there, we are told that a vision came to Paul in the night, and he saw a man from Macedonia across the sea from Troas beckoning to them and saying, "Come over and help us." And so when he related that to the missionary team the next day, they all agreed, this is God telling us where he wants us to go. And so that's what we call the Macedonian call. It's a rather famous portion of the New Testament record, isn't it? There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are even gospel songs that are based upon this Macedonian call. Now, Paul came back to Troas after ministering in Macedonia and Achaia, and he came back to Troas and spent some days there and preached to the church in Troas on the Lord's Day, late into the night, and that's where Eutychus fell out of the window during Paul's sermon, and Paul went down and evidently raised him from the dead. It looks like he fell out of the window and died, and Paul raised him from the dead, brought him back to the upper room where the service was being held, and continued preaching until dawn. That's one of the most amazing things. Can you imagine a church meeting being broken up? Well, it wasn't broken up. A church meeting being interrupted by somebody dropping dead. In our case, it wouldn't be somebody falling out of a window, very likely, to the street below, but somebody having a heart attack, for example, and dropping dead in a church service. And God would answer the prayers of his people and raise that dead person to life, and then just go back to the church service and continue right on where we left off. It wouldn't happen that way in most cases, would it? Let's be honest. That would break up the church meeting in most churches. That would be the end. We'll come back another day, but that would be the end of that particular church service, at least as far as any preaching is concerned. But not in Troas, not when Paul was preaching. That shows you how much Paul valued the Word of God, that he went right back to it. He had to finish his sermon, which was hours long, and that's how much the people at Troas valued the Word of God. They listened to Paul's sermon. They wanted to continue listening to Paul's sermon. They didn't want to conclude the church meeting, even as late as it was. They wanted to hear the Word of God, and so they continued listening to it until dawn. That is an amazing account. That happened at Troas, the very place that Paul is talking about here. And so Paul is presently, as he's writing to the Corinthian church, he's presently in Troas. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. Paul came back to Troas again, and he found there a wonderful ministry opportunity, as he had before, as he had on the occasion when Eutychus fell out of the window and dropped to the ground. But you can see how eager the people were in Troas to hear the Word of God. And so it's not surprising that Paul describes a wonderful ministry opportunity in Troas, an open door. People were eager to hear the Word of God. It was an open door for what Paul calls here the gospel of Christ. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. That's always what Paul was doing, was preaching the gospel of Christ. And there was great potential. A door was opened to me by the Lord. That's a door of opportunity. We talk in those terms today. We talk about having an open door or a closed door. And Paul says this was an open door because God does open doors, as surely as God also closes doors. That's his prerogative, and he directs us by these things. But in Troas at this time, Paul is describing a strategic opportunity for the gospel. This is a fruitful place of opportunity. They have been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God to receive God's word. They are eager to hear it. My ministry is desired. It is received positively. It is effective. People hear the Word of God. They believe it. They drink it in. But, said Paul, I didn't stay. Why? Well, because he had a weighty concern that he tells us about in verse 13, and we'll have to take that up on the broadcast tomorrow, so I hope you'll join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.